Father, we thank you, we can be thankful for all that you've done for us, Lord, and I pray you'll help us to be appreciative people, not just to take anything and everything for granted, Lord, but, Lord, to realize all every good and perfect gift comes from you. Lord, thank you for your love for us, thank you for your word, Lord, enlighten our hearts, touch our hearts and our spirits, Lord, that we may know we've met with you, the living God, as we praise you together, as we look at your word together, as we worship you. Lord, thank you for your great love for us, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
What's the best Christmas gift? A broken drum, you just can't beat it. Now, I must offer an apology here, from the beginning, because my younger daughter Angela sent me a pack of cards containing lots of Christmas jokes on them. So if I inflict them on you over the time, please forgive me. But I thought this was a good one. I like that one. But I want us to think about gifts, really, and how God works in some wonderful ways. So we've got Christmas gifts is the idea of the story anyway, right? Well, we're going to look at people who don't give gifts to start with, and this is a verse. It says, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he does not give. Have you met anybody like that? Full of air, but not much action. That's really what it's about. Big on promises, but small on delivery. And he's talking about that. There's some nice clouds. There's not much rain in them, I don't think. And that's what he's saying is they make a great appearance, make like they look like they're generous, but no, not very good, I'm afraid, at all. So that's the one that doesn't give gifts. Well, there's another way of giving gifts for the wrong reasons. Did you know that? Here is, what is this? It's a white elephant. Do you know where the story comes from? Well, I've written a little bit about there. Receiving a gift of a white elephant from a monarch. This is in the Far East, of course. Receiving the gift of a white elephant from a monarch was simultaneously a blessing and a curse. The animal was sacred and a sign of the monarch's favour. But the recipient now had an expensive to maintain animal he could not give away and could not put to much practical use. You couldn't make him work, you see, because it was wrong to use a white elephant for work. So the guy's lumbered with his any animal he's got a fee and he can't get rid of. And that's why we use the term, it's a white elephant, you know. Have you had any gifts like that recently? Well, the king was giving the gift for a good reason or a bad reason. Quite often, I suspect, for a bad reason, that he would keep the guy that he gave the present to under his thumb, of course. So that was the wrong reason there, and maybe there's another wrong reason, as I've got here. It says, many seek the favour of a generous man, and everyone is a friend to a man who gives gifts. Well, he's dishing out gifts. Why? For influence. Wanting to try and impress, I guess. And here's the wrong sort of gift as well, this one. A gift given in secret averts anger, and a concealed bribe, strong rock. See there, the policeman, is he embarrassed? Is he supposed to be blushing or something there? I don't know, but anyway, the idea is that gifts can be misused. That's what he's getting at, yeah. So that's the wrong reason. Another one for the wrong reasons, and this is a terrible one. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate Christmas. And there may be other reasons. It's a pagan festival, that's where it originates from, and I suspect that's one of their reasons. But there's also the idea of not giving gifts, and it comes from this verse in Revelation, I believe, because it says here, for 3.5 days, some of the peoples and tribes and languages and nations will gaze on their dead bodies, and this is the dead bodies of the two witnesses that we read about in Revelation. They witness for the Lord for a period of time, and then the enemy destroys them for a moment, it says. 3.5 days, yeah? And they gaze at their dead bodies and refuse to let them be placed in the tomb, and those who dwell on earth will rejoice over them and make merry and exchange presents, because these two prophets had been a torment to those who dwell on the earth. So they're celebrating that they got rid of these troublesome prophets. And what happens after 3 days? They rise from the dead and astound everybody again, of course. They couldn't get rid of them, man. Well, there you are, that's amazing. But it's sad to say, people do rejoice over the calamities in the world. I'm sorry to say this, but I don't know if you know that, but in Gaza and so on, if somebody, an Israelite, gets killed, they give out sweets. Mm. Isn't that wicked? Mm. Yeah. I mean, fellow human beings, you know, we should not be rejoicing at the troubles that other people have. Anyway, that's what gifts for the wrong reasons, right? Well, I think that's enough of gifts of the wrong reasons. But I want to just share this with you. I think is a really important one. Of all God's gifts, one of the greatest and most terrible is the freedom to choose. Why is it terrible? You can choose the wrong things. That's the thing about it. And God gave us that amazing freedom because he doesn't want you to love him because you have to. He wants you to love him because you want to. And that's it's a beautiful gift. But it's a terribly, terribly, terribly powerful one if it goes in the wrong direction as well. And human beings keep choosing the wrong sorts, don't they, all the time, of course. What's the cause of problems in the world? I mean, you have a socialist who might say it's capitalism or things like that. You know what the real cause of the problem in the world is? It was written by, the answer was given, I think it was in the turn of the 20th century, I believe it was the Times, put out a question, what's the problems with the world? And a man called G.K. Chesterton, a Christian man, he wrote a reply, "Dear sir, it's me, yours sincerely." What's the problem with the world? It's sin in the heart, that's the problem. And because sin's in the heart, people exploit others, and they take advantage and so on. And that's the terrible thing, we make choices in the wrong way as well. But when you use it in the right direction, it's something wonderful, as God wants us to do, of course. So, we'll look at some of the gifts now that God has given. Before we get there though, we have to look at this. It's an exercise of your choice. Here's the little one. I assume they're giving the gift back. When I googled to find an image, this is what one of them that came up. Unwanted gifts. And the little one's handing it back, unwanted and unopened. Sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's true of the good news of Jesus. We offer it, but you know, you have to open it. It's no good just leaving it standing there. It's something you have to respond to. And Joshua, many, many centuries before the coming of Jesus, said this to the tribes, his people. He said, "If it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." He said, "You've got a choice." Actually, it's three choices, but he says you've got two choices. You can serve the gods you left behind, your ancestors, or you can serve the gods that they worship here. He says, take a pick. But he says this, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's the right choice. And he said, well, actually, he's really giving them the challenge, you know, you go after all these other gods, or you can worship the true and living God. And he's setting them an example. He's a good leader, was Joshua. He didn't want unwanted gifts, he wanted to open them. So we're looking at God's gifts. That is what I want to just concentrate on for a little while. God's gifts to all mankind. And Paul is speaking here to a group of people who are pagans. They're no understanding of the good news of Jesus. They will do by the time he's finished. But at the point in time he's speaking, he's really talking to people who've got no idea about what Christianity is like or who God is. And he says this, "In the past generations, God allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without a witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." He said, I want you to realize that God has been blessing you even if you didn't know it. He provides you with the food you have, the seasons. God's been blessing you, and it's time you realize that. That's what he's getting at, of course. So God has provided for us. And then one thing he does say this, in a little later in Acts, where he's talking to another group of pagan people, no idea about the Lord. That's why Paul's gone to tell them about Jesus. And he says this, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. And what Paul is saying is God has chosen where the different nations were to be on the earth, you know? And he's marked out the times and the boundaries. And did you know God had worked out the time that you were to be coming into this world? You're in the plan. Yes. And he's saying that. God's got a plan. And he says this. You know, God wants you to reach out to him. And he's talking to pagan people again. God wants you to reach out to him to find him. He says, but I've got news for you. He's not a million miles away. Because in him we live and move and have our being. He's the one that keeps you breathing. He's the one that's providing for you. So Paul is getting to these pagans as the God of creation, the God providing for them. That's where he starts with, because they've no idea what God's like. So he has to tell them, God made you, God provides for you, and then he's going to say, God loves you. Well, that's proof already that he's providing for us, of course. But that's the good news of Jesus, of course. So God's gifts is what we're looking at. God's gifts to those who don't know the Lord are amazing, but for those that do know the Lord, that receive him by faith, that we have received God's grace and love through faith. We trust him, we believe him. And this is one of God's gifts. For the wages of sin is death. You earn wages, don't you? And we certainly earn our sinful ways, yes? For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And do you know why it's free? Because you couldn't buy it. It's so amazingly valuable, you can't buy it, and you can't earn it, so God chooses to give it freely. Have you got that free gift? Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the best free gift you'll ever get, dear friend. Mm-hmm. Free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul makes it, and this is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. What's eternal life? There used to be a sitcom, I believe, some years ago. Never mind the quality, feel the width. A long time ago, I know. Yes. Well, some people seem to think that's what eternal life's like. Never mind the quality, just feel how long it is, you know. That's not what eternal life is. I come that they may have life in all its fullness, Jesus said. And that's, it starts now, that we've got more to come. Isn't that wonderful? And it says this in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace you be saved through faith, and this not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Isn't that lovely? God gives you the ability to trust him, just as well. Because if you're anything like me, we're not too brilliant at doing it, unless we've got the help that God gives us. You know, we look at circumstances, our minds go into overdrive, and then the Lord speaks his peace to our hearts, and says, just trust me. I'll fix it. And so God gives us eternal life. That's one of his great gifts for us. But there's more. God gives us his son. I mean, he could let you live forever, but he does more than that. He gives you Jesus. Jesus comes to dwell within you ultimately, but he's given us Jesus. Why has God given us Jesus? So we can know God. You know, you can't tell what God's like. He's invisible. He's all extremely different to us. So we need God in visible form, as it were. And idols won't do the job. I mean, the Israelites bowed down to a golden calf. God doesn't have horns and hoofs. Yeah, he's not like that. Our God is the living God. And so Jesus comes to show us who he's like. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Paul, later on, saying, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. We've run out of words. We don't know how to put it. Just to say thank you for Jesus. You do that, friends. Thank the Lord for his son. He loves us, and he's shown us himself through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God accessible, you could say. It's a lovely thing, isn't it? So God has given us his son, the Lord Jesus. And he's also, it doesn't stop, you see, that God is very generous. He's given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit as a person, and he comes to dwell within us. Have you invited him in? Because that's really important. The Holy Spirit wants to take over. And as humans, we get very scared about somebody else taking over our lives, don't we? But I've got news for you. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' Spirit. He's good. He's kind. He won't lead you wrong. He won't do wrong in you. So he's the best boss you could have. So the Holy Spirit comes, and Peter said to the people on the day of Pentecost, he said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. I love that verse, because I'm in that verse. You're in that verse. I'm one of the far off ones. I mean, Peter was talking 2,000 years ago. And far off's 2,000 years, isn't it? And so he said, the promise isn't just for you guys I'm standing in front of, but it's for all those I can see down in the future, all the way down to March. And I can see him sitting in that church this morning. The promise is for you too. Isn't that wonderful, eh? So, the God gives us his Holy Spirit. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. But, having received Jesus, having received the Holy Spirit, having received eternal life, you know, God has not just saved you to put you like one of those Christmas decorations on the shelf, you know, and just stand there smiling all your days, you know. God's got a job for you. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And one of the blessings of work for Jesus is it's rewarding, it can be challenging, but it gives you a sense of purpose as well. And God's got work for us to do, and he does it through his Holy Spirit giving us gifts. I often describe these as God's toolbox. No, you need a tool for the job. Get the right tools, and the job is an easy one. And the Holy Spirit provides us with tools to work and to minister for Jesus. So Paul, writing in Corinthians, says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Lesson number one for the Corinthians was, it's not all about you. It's all about you being somebody's blessing. So we're here for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. We use the word of wisdom in some of our translations. It's God can give you something that will be a help to someone to see a way through a situation. A word of wisdom. To another, an utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. So God can give you information that will be of help in sharing Jesus or showing someone the way ahead. Yeah, so that's a word of knowledge. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And what kind of faith is that? I mean, we all need faith to come to Jesus to start with. So what's this faith the Holy Spirit produces? It's faith where God puts into you that sense of assurance he's going to do something. It's faith for action. Yeah? It's not faith in the sense of trusting in him. It's faith for action, for him to work through you in some particular way, as you'll see. So to another, he gives gifts of healing. You can pray for people. And you can minister to them, and God will make them well. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. And, well, I'll come to that later. It's not about you. It's God working. He's giving you the toolbox. Right. To another, working of miracles. That God can do astounding things through us. I think that's incredible. But there we are. You are. To another, prophecy. Now, prophecy isn't just telling the future. It's speaking out. I'm doing a bit of prophesying now, you could say, in that sense, yeah? It's telling forth the message of the Lord, right? So, and to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. I've said this before. I count this as your spiritual nose. You can sniff something. It doesn't smell right, or you think, that's okay. Yeah? That's what the Spirit does. It puts that sense inside you. The Holy Spirit is giving you that, well, detector, you could say, to say, look, that's what God wants, that's not what God wants. And then to another, various kinds of tongues, we can praise the Lord in languages that we don't understand, but the Lord does. And to another, interpretation of tongues. He can help others to understand what we've been saying. Yeah? All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. A beautiful lesson there, and it's simply this. God gives his gifts as he wants, when he wants, to who he wants. Mm-hmm. Got that?
Yeah.
It's not that we go around ticking off, you know, you've heard of those twitchers, have you? They call them their life lists. You know, they tick off the next bird they've seen in the list. You know, there's about 400, I believe, in Britain that you could tick off of your list, you know. Mm. Right? If you wanted to go around to all these obscure places. This is not a tick-off list. Yeah? It's a toolbox. God can give you one of these when you need it. That's how it works, yes. praise the Lord. But it's for the common good, so that God can use us in order to be servants for Him. But He doesn't only just give gifts. The Holy Spirit gives people. You're a gift yourself. You've got gifts. And God gives gifts to people as well. And He says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. We're all different. Did you know that? And just because someone's got one gift that you don't have, don't envy them. Remember, you're part of the body, they're part of the body, their functioning will be a blessing to you, and your functioning with the gifts you have will be a blessing to them. That's the way God's chosen to do it. He doesn't give one person all the gifts. Otherwise, they might just start getting bigger in the head as well.
Yeah.
No, He shares it out so that we can be a help to each other. And so He says, He gives different gifts to others. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, so we speak out as God enables us to trust Him. If service, in our serving, well, did you know serving is a gift of God?
Yeah.
A person who's a servant is a gift. Don't we know that?
Yeah.
Or isn't it often, it's not the ones who make all the noise that are the most important people when it comes to something functioning. Serving. The one who teaches in his or her teaching, by the way. Yes? God gives gifts of teaching. What's special about teaching? Would you like to tell us it, my love?
Getting to change young people's lives.
Yeah, that's a tremendous privilege. Teaching is imparting information, knowledge to others. And one of the important things about teaching is to make it understandable. It's no good having it go in all the people's heads because it won't do them any good. And one of the hard jobs for teaching, I'm sure you've found it, trying to make it simple enough that they get it without making it ridiculously simple. You know what I mean? Keep it simple is what it's about. But that's not easy. It's not easy. So teaching is a pretty important thing. One who exhorts. Do you know what? To someone who exhorting. It's an encourager. An exhorter is, get on with it. Go on. Yeah. Keep it up. You can do it.
Yeah.
That's an exhorter. Let him do it in his exhortation. One who contributes in generosity. If you're able, do you know, able to give, whether of your time or your love and your care or financially, whatever it is, he says, let him do it generously. You know, give. Because we're meant to be givers, did you know that? Because
yeah.
God's given to you in order for you to give to others. One who leads with zeal, at least they ought to have some, you know, be keen about it, you know. Right. Not like the generals in the First World War. The generals in the First World War led from the rear. Right. With the lead from the front, that's the idea. One who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. When you have to do things that are not easy, that are really tough, showing kindness to those that don't deserve it and don't appreciate it, says let him do it cheerfully, you know, keep on. So we've got hands, I've got that little picture there. What's interesting about the hands, they're servant hands, but they're operating in love. That's the point. So God gives gifts of people equipped by the Holy Spirit for service. We often, sometimes read that word, ministry. And you know, it's a bad word, I think, really. I mean, it's a good word, but what's the problem with the word ministry is it seems like it's one of these big badges you wear. You know, I've got this ministry. Yeah, which is not what it's about. It really means service. Yeah, we're servants, brothers and sisters. That's how it meant to be. And so God gives Holy Spirit people for service. And we can use our gifts as worship. Isn't that amazing? They're, you know these guys are. They're the wise men, so-called, aren't they? Yes. And do you know why they're wise? They came to worship Jesus. Right? And they came a long way to worship Jesus. And they brought their gifts. They were gifts that they were appropriate to their abilities and their standing as people. But they brought gifts to worship the Lord. And you can worship the Lord with your gifts, whatever they are. You may feel you haven't got many gifts, do you? Some of us sometimes can have the Poms. Have you heard of the Poms? The poor old me's. You know, I'm no good, I can't do anything, I'm useless. Yeah. Well, God says, I love you, I've made you, I've got something for you to do. The little song that is, I love to sing sometimes to my little self, yeah? There's a work for Jesus none but you can do.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right. So we can use our gifts for worship.
And I just want to share, this is my last one. It's a really, it might seem a bit weird, this. But as I was praying the other morning, I don't normally get a lot of pictures coming into my head, but I had this picture coming to mind of this brown lizardy thing on a tree trunk with all this dark bark. So that's the nearest I could find as a picture to it. This brown lizardy thing on a tree trunk. And then I saw the top of the tree way up above, you know, and the lizard was going up to the top of the tree. So what was that all about? No idea, no. Well, I thought about it.
You're getting there.
Well, yes, that's part of it. The little, I mean, here's this brown, insignificant, unimportant nothingness, really, yeah? I mean, a little lizard, neither here nor there, is it? Yeah, it's not big, it's not important. I thought, well, that fits me, Lord. Yes, right, so, we're little brown things. Mind you, that's me, it's not you, I'm saying you're beautiful. You're okay, yeah. But this little brown thing is going all the way up to the top of the tree, and you think, isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? That's not the point of the story. You know, I've been talking about God's gifts to us, and God wants to give us gifts in order to use us, that we can climb his tree, you know, up to the top of the tree, being a blessing to others, yeah? We can progress, is what it's about, in the gifts that God gives us. But the thought that crossed my mind, that I think is the one I want to leave with you, is this. The lizard couldn't get anywhere if the tree wasn't there. Mm. And if the tree wasn't that tall, it would never get that high. It's the tree that supports the lizard to do the lizard's job. In other words, give God the glory. Yeah. You can do what you can do because God's helping you to do it. Mm. Without that bark to grip onto, without the height of the tree, the tree's the strength. The little lizard's just a little brown insignificant thing. That my, can he go places? Can she go places where they're depending on the Lord and giving him the glory? That's what the Lord wants me to know anyway. Keep trusting him. Do what you can for him, but make sure he gets the praise when you do something that works. Yeah? Thank the Lord. Yeah. Right, I think that's it. Yeah.
Tonight, that was quite amazing actually. Yesterday I woke up in my garden. I've got these big trees in fact, and they've blown all these leaves on my garden. It's like covered, completely covered. And I kept looking at it and I thought, oh, I'd love to go and clear that up, you know. So I just prayed and I said to God, I know, you know, I shouldn't go out there and I shouldn't be going out to pick their leaves, but I need to go and pick them leaves and clear that garden up. It looks awful. I said, would you please give me the strength, you know, to do it? Anyway, so I went out there and I started getting a little shovel. But this has been taking hours. It did, it took me 3 hours. And while I was doing it, I'm praying all the time, really, keep me going, don't let me fall, Lord, don't let me fall. All of a sudden, this little brown bird came down. That's what made me
all right, it. Yeah.
And it sat beside me, Dennis.
Oh.
I've never seen it. It looked like a dove, but it was dark brown.
Right.
And it just sat down and followed me around the garden. Wasn't that amazing?
There you are. Well, you were providing entertainment for the bird. And he was encouraging you, was it? The little fellow was there.
Yeah, I thought he was going to
fly off,
didn't he? Yes, all right. You know, because I was saying hello.
Great.
So, you know,
very cool.
I think God sent
a bit
of strength, you know.
Yes, he does send his encouragement.
Praise
the Lord. And I did, but I believe that. You got it done. Right, well, praise the Lord. Great. Well, let's just pray, shall we, and thank him, because he does love us so much. Mm. Father, we are so blessed. Thank you for the many gifts. Best of all, the gift of Jesus, your Son, and the eternal life we have in him, for your Holy Spirit, who brings us an understanding and the light of life and the power to live for you. Lord, I pray that as you give us gifts, we may use them not for our own selfish reasons, Lord, to try and look better than others, but Lord, to be servants. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being part of your amazing family. And Lord, may we, as Lord, you work in us and do things good through us, Lord, may we give you the glory. Mm-hmm. Lord, you are worthy, and we bless you and praise your holy name. Amen.